ॐ शुक्लां भरधरं विष्णुं शशिवर्णं चतुर्भुजं प्रसन्नवदनं ध्यायेत् सर्वविघ्नोपशान्तये। ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। ॐ So the Nama that we have completed is today's 640. It could be 640 or 641. The Namas are Pradyumnaha. One whose Yumna or wealth is of a superior and sacred order, or one of the four Yuhas. And the next Nama is Amita Vikramaha. One of unlimited prowess. One whose prowess cannot be accepted by anyone. The wealth is of a superior order. The wealth that comes from dharma, for example, is of a superior order. And mental wealth is of a superior order. And we have always discussed about richness. Who is rich? When your assets more than your desires. I put it this way. When your desires are less than your assets, you are rich. When your desires are more than your assets, you are poor. So superior order of wealth. In this logic, who has a superior order of wealth? Anybody? Who is the richest person then?
Someone who is content.
Oh. Huh?
Someone who is content or his desires are, as you said, less than what he has. And his desires are under control. When his desires are under control and he doesn't have more desires, then he's rich because he's content.
Doesn't have?
More desires, then he's content.
I'm talking about richest. Richest person of all times.
A spiritual person.
Who is that?
Someone who knows the self as the whole or God.
Someone who is not controlled by his vasanas.
Someone who is looking, who's doing service to others, thinks of doing service to others first before his own.
When Shweta answered, she said someone who doesn't have more desire. Actually, I was thinking that she'll say someone who has no desires. Nobody said no desires. When you realize the self, what is at stake? God plus desire equals beings. Beings minus desires equals God. The richest fellow is who has no desires. Take it or leave it. So Pradyumna, when he says, very rich. Why very rich? Because his mind is dissolved. He is above the world. He has no desire for anything worldly. He's become one with Brahman. And here he is talking about the Nama of the Lord, Ishvara. And Ishvara gets this desire, this Nama, because he has no desire. That's the wealth which is of different kind. So when he says, you know, wealth of different superior order, what is superior order? This is what I'm trying to explain to you. He gives riches and glory to his devotees. He's a giver. Any situation, anywhere he goes, he's a giver because he has no expectations, no value for what the world can offer. He's the richest. And he's richest at all times. The worldly game of who's rich, who's poor and all, the number keeps on changing. He then says this fellow has become number one now. This fellow's share value has gone up, so he's become number one, number two. These things keep on changing. But in the case of a person who's realized the self, he's always rich. He's the richest. That's why they say God is Lakshmi. He's residing in him. On his chest. She's in him. All wealth is in him. Therefore, he has no thoughts of wealth. He is the wealthiest person. Madhyumnaha, very rich. Amita Vikramaha, immeasurable prowess. Incredible power. Most potent. Brahman is called as the omnipotent. Without Brahman, your senses cannot function, mind cannot function, intellect cannot function. I can't see, hear, smell, taste, touch, I can't talk, I can't walk, I can't feel, I can't think. Without Brahman illuminating the earth through the sun and the moon, earth cannot produce anything. So there can be nothing without Brahman. So most powerful is Brahman. Most powerful Brahman doesn't interfere. In our activities. While it implements our activities, doesn't interfere in our activities. So, of immeasurable prowess, that is Sri Narayana, and omnipotent, no one can stand against the prowess of the Lord. We can fight against him only by borrowing the capacity to fight from him. He is the one lending energy for us to fight. Lending energy in the sense, the ability to function. So how can you finish Narayana? Ego tries to destroy. Because ego is essentially false. In Tamil, the word for body is kayam. That's why they say kai kal. You heard of the term kai kal? No response. Kaya means body. So in Tamil they say kayame idu poyyada. Poi means false. This is false. There is a beautiful shloka in Bhagavad Gita. It says, false appears to be true, though it doesn't exist. Truth appears to be false, though it always exists. For you and me, existence is just based on the senses. But whatever we perceive, are they always existing as the same? So therefore they are not real. So the unreal, though existing, it does not exist. The real, though not existing in the sense, for the senses to see it, hear it, smell it, taste it, touch it, but it always exists. The unreal though seems to be existing, doesn't really exist. The real though seems to be not existing, always exists. This you should know, he says in Bhagavad Gita. So when we understand these things, what he says, you cannot destroy the truth. You cannot protect the false with any number of people, money, anything. You cannot. Impossible. This is what the story of Hiranyakashipu is telling us. Hiranyakashipu, what did he do? He got boons after doing so much of tapas. And what were they? I cannot be killed in the morning. I cannot be killed in the night. I cannot be killed in the outside. I cannot be killed inside. I cannot be killed by a man, nor by animal. He had so many conditions like this in his boon, and he was granted all that. Still, he was the most insecure, agitated fool. So his son, small boy, Prahlada, all the time saying, Om Namo Narayanaya, all the time he's saying. And whenever he hears the word Narayana, he gets agitated. Yeah, what is this fellow? I am the most powerful. He's saying to Narayana, who is this Narayana? Where is he? Because he is a threat for his power, post. See, that day you are feeling threat means you are weak. So, when Prahlada is saying Narayana, this guy gets agitated. So, where is your Narayana? Everywhere. He's there on the pillar, yes. He broke the pillar, he came and he finished him off. That's what the story says. He came as a half man, half lion, Lord Narasimha. Neither a man nor an animal. And he took him, kept him on his thighs, which is neither up nor down. And took him to the threshold, which is not outside nor inside. And then he killed him, tore him open with his nails, not with any instruments. What that story is trying to tell is, you can do what you want to protect the ego. And ego being false, it will suffer, it will be destroyed. You do whatever people we protect ourselves from corona, maybe something else will come, something else. God knows what. This body will have to perish. One day it will perish. So you take care of the body, but don't think that you can somehow protect the body all the time for forever. That is not possible. So, in this context, I always give this example. Like I have hair, white hair now. Supposing I color. Maybe one or two weeks, 3 weeks, it lasts. After that, again, one hair will show gray, or few here and there will show gray. It will be exposed. So, the real power is in truth. The most potent is the truth. And the truth is something that is always existing. Permanent. You cannot bury it for long. Amita Vikramaha, the most potent, extremely potent is Sri Narayana. Powerful. So when we read these namas, see these namas when we are studying and reflecting, it actually cleanses us. That's why I said it's like a giving bath to your mind. Spiritual study on a daily basis should not be missed. Just like how you should not miss taking bath for your body, you should give bath to your mind on a daily basis. It's an extremely important discipline. So, Vadyumnaha Virinich, Amita Vikramaha, very, very fast. And you do not have any desires, you are the most powerful person. You don't have to be dependent on anybody. Zero dependence. Very powerful. Since most of you are into business and all, I'm giving you this example. One particular family, in their business, the factory also, I go and lecture to their managers and all, once in a while. So suddenly they face a particular problem. 80% of their products were sold to one company. Their OEM manufacturers, 80% they were servicing one industry, another industry. 20% somebody else. That industry is in Tamagar state in Tamil, in Chennai, Tamil Nadu goes. They said, you have to shift your base to Tamil Nadu. They could not. They lost 80% of business suddenly. Why? Because they became dependent. You become dependent on anything, you cannot be possible. Possible. The Indian government was also talking about Atmanirbharana. I'm not getting into politics of it, but I'm just using the word self-reliance, self-sufficiency, having the ability to handle your desires, and being not dependent on the outside factors for your inner joy. When you develop these qualities, it's fantastic. Whoever you may be, you come to our ashram, you love to wash your plates. Dry it and keep it back. You know, you do your things yourself. You don't understand the value of such a discipline. It's fantastic. See, these are all small disciplines, but they teach you a lot. They teach you to be self-dependent. You're studying about Amita Vikrama. Brahman is not different than anybody. The world doesn't see Brahman. It doesn't glorify Brahman. The world only glorifies the materiality. Even if they go to Brahman, what where they go? The temples and all these places of worship. Please bless me so I get more material wealth. This and that. But it doesn't affect Brahman. Because Brahman is self-sufficient. So, this is the meaning of the term Amita Vikramaha. Next shloka. Kala nemi viha viraha chaurishura janeshwaraha tilokatma tilokeshaha keshava keshihaharihi kala nemi viha viraha chaurishura janeshwaraha trilokatma trilokeshaha keshavat keshihaharihi kala nemihi. The slayer of the asura, kala nemi. Kala means time. And the self is a destroyer of time. And it is beyond the mind, beyond the intellect. And time is a concept at the mental level. When you go to sleep, when you are in deep sleep, do you have the concept of time? Yes or no?
No.
But when you wake up, you know how much time you slept. Oh my God, I slept for 10 hours. Oh, I only slept for 2 hours. Looks like I slept for 8 hours. So what has happened? In between, there is no concept of time. Why in deep sleep there is no concept of time? Huh?
The mind is at rest.
Because there is no mind in deep sleep, correct? So when you reach the self, you go to the state which is beyond the mind. So you go beyond the time. Also, time is born in the second experience. Time is measured with the second experience. We start the class at 11 o'clock and then when we end, we say 1 hour 15 minutes gone by. So we measure the time of 1 hour 15 minutes at the second experience. But the very first experience could have not been experienced without the Atma enlivening you. So therefore Brahman is there in the very first experience before time. When your mind is in a happy state, time flies. When your mind is in a disturbed state, time drags. So time is to do with mind. Brahman is beyond mind. Therefore, kala nenihi. Viraha. One who is ever victorious. Brave. Truth is never afraid of false. Because false, like I said, doesn't exist. Why would you be afraid of something that doesn't exist? So truth is always brave. Those who are on the side of the truth is always brave. Those who know the power and potency of the truth will be brave. And they will be victorious. One who is ever victorious. Viraha. Viraha means one who is ever victorious. One who is courageous. One is strong. From where does this courage come from? The courage comes when your conscience is clear and your convictions are clear. When you know that you have not done anything wrong. You can tell the fellows, oh, you want to come and raid my house, come. And not today, any day you come. If today you may think that I have cleaned all the files, come suddenly, no problem. Only if you are doing some bad work, then you will not be courageous. When your conscience is extremely clear, the convictions are clear. There is nothing to be scared of. Shaurihi, one who was born in the clan of Sura as Krishna. So the Lord came down on earth as Sri Krishna. Hence he got the name Shauri. Sura Janeshwaraha. One who by his overwhelming prowess controls even great powers like Indra and others. Indra, who is supposed to be the Lord of Heaven, his power is also borrowed from power from Brahman. From Brahman all beings borrow power, whether it is human beings or devas. Therefore, he says, Sura Janeshwara is the Lord of even Indra, the good people, those who are in heaven. Their powers are also borrowed from. And all that power that we have to see, to hear, to smell, to taste, to touch, they are all actually the powers of Brahman. So actually, the glory belongs to Brahman. These are all the vibhutis of Brahman. So that is why we say when you are seeing, the very fact that you can see is because of Brahman. So that could become a fantastic opportunity for you to do the worship. You don't have to go to a mandir. The fact that I can see, there is Brahman there. So I can say Namaskar. The fact that I can hear, there is Brahman. So, Sura Janeshwara controls even great powers like Indra and others. Extremely powerful, supremely mighty. So the Lord of the Valiant, that is another meaning, Surajaneshwara. In the battlefield and all, you see people shouting, you know, or Hey Shri Ram. Why? All these people are getting a source of inspiration. Sura Janeshwara, Lord of the Valiant. The moment you conceive a higher goal, you draw a lot of power and energy. The highest goal is Atma. So the moment you identify with the highest, the Atma, tremendous power comes. But if you don't, then you will suffer. That's what he says, Suras and Neshwara. They draw all their, the fountainhead of irresistible might is invoked by the victorious and is the source of strength from which even Indra and others draw their vigor. One interpretation. What does it mean? Why? You can look at it from a practical angle. The higher the goal, you get tremendous energy. On the battlefield, if you think of some selfish fellow, even whatever little energy you have, you drop. A selfless person inspires. The self is the highest, most selfless. That inspires everyone. That is the one which is the source of energy for everyone. Triloka Atma. Triloka, you know. What are the Trilokas? Philosophically. What are the Triloka philosophically? Remember this. The term Loka in Sanskrit means world, of course, but Loka means experiences also. So three loka, what are the levels at which we experience? Waking state level, dream state level, deep sleep state level. Body level, mind level, intellect level. At all these levels, whatever experiences we go through, the Atma, the reality of the three worlds is Brahman. Triloka Atma. The reality is the self of the three worlds. Three different fields of experiences. Experiences of the waker, the experience of the dreamer, the experience of the deep sleeper, experience at the body level, experience at the mind level, experience at the intellect level. Therefore, Atman of the three worlds is Sri Narayana. The center. Triloka Isha. Even though the Lord is enlivening the three worlds, He is not tainted by the three worlds. Your experience only taints your mind. Your experience cannot taint the Atma. You are calling yourself a papi because you are identifying with your mind. If you identify with your Atma, you are neither a papi nor a punyavan. That's why Adi Shankaracharya, when his guru is asking him, who are you? At the age of 8, he is answering with Atma Shadaka. Mano buddhya hankara chitta nasam na cha shrotra jiste na cha grana netre na cha vyoma bhume na tejo na vayu siddhananda rupah shivoham shivoham Siddhananda Rupah Shivoham Shivoham Na Punyam Na Papam
na saukhyam na dukkham na mantro na teetam na vedanayajnah na punyam na paapam. Atma has no punyam, Atma has no paapam. It is all for the individual, it's all for the mind. As long as you identify with the mind, as long as you think you are this limited individual, you will be having paapam. So Triloka Isha is the Lord. He gains no taint. Nothing is smeared on him. Comes, plays through his body, mind, intellect, enjoys, goes back empty-handed. No vasanas collection. Nothing. Lord. Lord means without whom the world cannot exist. But he is not dependent on the world for his existence. And whatever is happening in the world doesn't taint him. Keshava. Keshava means one who has long hairs. So it could mean Lord Krishna. But there are other interpretations also. Keshas are the rays of the Lord that illumine the sun, moon, stars and other such effulgent, things in the cosmos. So therefore, the rays of mind that illumine are called Keshas. Rays of mind means Brahman. Therefore, the wise Brahmins call me Keshava. This is one interpretation. Also, as I've told you before, Ka means Brahman, sorry, Brahma. Isha means Shiva. So Brahma is the creator, Shiva is the Lord of destruction. And both of them are spun from Vishnu, the preserver. Hence, he is called Keshava. So Keshava means Narayana, who is Shiva, who is Brahma. In Tamil they say, Hariyum Sivanam Munna Hariyadavan Vayilam Munna. What it means is, Hari and Shiva are one and the same. They are one. They are not two, they are one. And one who does not know this, in his mouth there is sand. What it means is useless. He is only eating sand. He lives a life of insipid life. That's what it means. Keshava. Keshiha. One who destroyed the Asura, Keshi. See, very interesting. Sometimes I wonder. You pray to God. You say, sir, God, Lord, I am in trouble. Please help me to get me out of this trouble. And once I'm out of this trouble, I'll come to your temple and tonsure my head. Shave off my hairs. What is the significance of shaving off the hair?
Surrendering the ego?
Hmm?
Surrendering one's ego?
Yeah, how?
Because we take pride in our looks. So perhaps...
Absolutely correct. I tell you, if you go to this salon, people like me are most not wanted people. Little cutting, that's it. One line here, one line there, one suddenly a little bit coloring here and all kinds of things they are doing. My son will never go to the hair cutting salon with me. Because he wants to have good hair, lot of hair. I say, cut it short. He will refuse to come with me to the hair cutting salon. As you rightly say, no, this style, this different style. All these things, the hair gives you a image. So they took it symbolically. So when you tonsure your hair, You are offering your ego. Symbolism. People won't shave their hair that easily. Right now. Forget shaving hair, they're putting color and all that. Some profession demands that. I can understand that. Other things, I don't know. No. This ego, Keshini Sudana, Keshiha, one who destroyed the Asura Keshi. So, the more and more Narayana comes into your life, through the scriptures and study, reflection, ego dissolves. Slowly, slowly, ego dissolves. That's why when a student approaches the guru, the traditional gurukul, he cuts all his hairs. Only one jutu he left, little bit. That is to say that I have very little desires. That also is to realize the self. All other desires are gone. That's the significance. Desire and ego. Keshiha, one who destroyed the asura, Keshi. Harihi, the Lord is called the destroyer. The moment the Lord starts residing in our personality, starts residing in the sense, Lord is everywhere. But when we cleanse the, if you go to the South Indian Mandir, there will be, cleaning the temple and then they'll put a screen. They are decorating. Just one minute, I'll just come.
After today's class, we'll meet in July, first week July. So, no, between both of us, whoever's in town can then coordinate.
Yeah, great. I've joined back. My network had a problem.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Oh, that's
fine. So, Abhi, even I should be in, I'll be here only in July, so we'll coordinate. I think first week, July, first Thursday, we can have the class.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
What was I talking about? Keshiha, Harihi, the destroyer. When we have Lord Vishnu residing in us, like in the temple example I was giving, that's the time somebody rang the bell, I'm alone at home. So, the temple, you know, they are doing Abhishekam and all that for the Lord. Before that, after all the Abhishekam, they close the screen, they dress up the Lord, and then they open the screen, and then they're doing aarti. What it means is, you are completely cleansing your body, allowing the self to shine. Then the self becomes evident. But with all the cobwebs at the head level, which means the inside, the Lord is not evident. When you make the Lord evident, all the false values, everything goes. You become ready to come out clean. You are not afraid. There are what the world thinks of you. So many movies also are there. You know? That's the courage. That's the significance of the confession in Christianity also. Confession doesn't mean you go confess to the priest there and then go and do another murder. This is not confession. See, shaming is one big way of punishing people. And then there are so many people felt ashamed by certain act of theirs, or sometimes the public shames, you know, some of the children. This is a big headache in the schools and colleges. When they do all these, ragging. They do all the ragging and all that. Some children commit suicide. Why? Once they have been shamed, they do not have the courage to come and face the world. Unfortunately, those children are thinking themselves to be this limited personality. That is why, at the moment you know the truth, why should you be ashamed? Those who are taking you to be this body, they are the ones to be ashamed. Taking you to be this personality and shaming you, they are the ones to be ashamed. So you will not be, you know, affected by that. But for that you need strong knowledge, deep knowledge. So, the moment Lord comes in your life, the moment awareness comes, all the false value goes. Unnecessary extra paraphernalia, everything goes away. So your own ignorance is destroyed. So Lord Narayana is the destroyer of the samsara. It is caused by the ignorance. Samsara is caused by the ignorance. Nothing else. The moment you gain the knowledge, you destroy the samsara. That's why he is called as Harihi. Next shloka. Kama deva kama palaha kami kantatra pagamaha anirdeshamapu vishnupu Viro nanto dhananjayaha kama deva kama palaha kami kantatra pagamaha anirdeshamapu vishnupu Viro nanto dhananjayaha kama devaha. Madhavaha means the beloved Lord. The interpretation given in the book that I gave you, one who is desired by the persons in the quest of the four values of life, Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, Kama Deva. Kama Deva also means the Lord of desires. All the desires are ultimately wanting to get back to the source. Somebody asked Swami Ramakrishna, why is a person greedy, avaricious? He said, why will he or she not be avaricious? Because essentially they are infinite. Till they reach the infinite, they won't rest content. Till they reach the infinite, they won't rest content. Therefore, the desires are there only to take you to the highest self-realization. But unfortunately, you think you can reach that highest perfection by external conquest. So, kama devaha, one who is desired by the persons in the quest of the four values of life, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Because ultimate perfection is realizing the self, becoming one with the Lord. Therefore, he is considered to be the most charming, beloved Lord. He helps you to overcome desires. When you worship the Lord, he gives you the strength to ride over the desires. He makes you get established more and more in dharma. See, all of us have dharma and adharmic knowledge. Basic common sense I'm talking about. Somebody hits you, it pains you. So you don't want anybody to hit you. So it's common sense that you should also not hit others. Similarly, if somebody breaches your trust, it pains you. You should not breach others' trust. So like that you know the basic dharmas of life. You don't have to be a professor in dharma shastra. basic dharma yoga. But yet, we fall into adharma. Why? Because of desires. Desires. But if we stick to karma yoga, bhakti yoga, jnana yoga, we are in constant touch with the Lord. When we are in constant touch with the Lord, He gives us the strength to deal with His desires so that we don't fall. So the seekers, they worship the Lord. Hence it is called as Kama Deva. Kama Palaha, the fulfiller of desires of all His devotees. So if you dharmically live, He gives you the result according to your karma and fulfills your desires. So He is the one who gives you the fruit. So kama palaha. Next, kami. One who has fulfilled all his desires. He has no desires. He fulfills others' desires, but he has no desires. That's why we go there. He ourselves tell him, if you fulfill this desire, I'll give you this. He never asks. He doesn't have any requirement to ask. The two of us. One who has fulfilled all his desires. See, why do you have desire? How does the desire come from? Anybody? What is the root of desire?
Thought. Thought. Mind.
Indulgence in
mind and your vasanas.
A sense of incompleteness. You are complete, paripurna, but you are ignorant of the fact that you are paripurna. Because of the ignorance of the fact that you are complete, there is a void, a sense of incompleteness in us. And to fulfill that void is like hunger in you. To fulfill the hunger, your thoughts go to the food. Then you do action to gain the food. Then you eat the food. So the desire springs from a sense of incompleteness. And by getting the object of the desire, you think you will fulfill the sense of incompleteness permanently. You won't. You can only fulfill the sense of incompleteness permanently by gaining the knowledge that you are actually complete. If you are really incomplete, it's a different matter. But actually, the fact is you are actually complete. You are paripurna. But you do not know that. Therefore, there is the sense of incompleteness due to the ignorance. And the sense of incompleteness creates the desire. But in the case of Brahman, he knows his essential nature. He doesn't have any sense of incompleteness. He's completely fulfilled. Next, Kantaha, of enchanting form. Most enchanting form. Supremely handsome. When you say supremely handsome, like a magnet, he attracts us. So what is actually attracting us, you see, is the sense. Whatever we do, whatever we don't do, is only for the sake of the sense. Nothing else. When I say for the sake of the self, we already explained that. It is to reach that infinite bliss. So what is actually drawing you? If you dangle a carrot in front of a donkey, the donkey moves. So why are we all moving? We are moving because we all want that infinite bliss. What is that infinite bliss? Nothing but Atma. So that's the one that is attracting you, attracting you, attracting you. Kantaha. The most beautiful, most enchanting form. Also, children, they attract us. Small kids, you know, babies. Everybody who's come there, they get attracted to the kids. They go and play with them. No, like that they do. Why? Because children are extremely innocent. Ego is still not come. Me, mine. Itne raha hai. Ye tumhara hai. Tumne aisa bola. And kabhi bhi, I will not forgive you. And a person is struggling like that. You don't want to be with that person. He's trying to dominate. Who's taking away your freedom? Would you like to be in a space or her presence? This is a problem in marriages, no? Relationships. What is the problem? There will be in courtship for 2-3 years, 5 years maybe. 5 years we've been seeing each other, and then we decided we will marry, and then my God, the problem starts. Why? Possessiveness. You reduce the other person to an object. Both, many cases, both are doing it to each other. In some cases, one is doing more to the other. Possessiveness. Who would want to be with a fellow or a lady who is all the time possessive? Hey, Baba, leave me. You want to run away? One small excuse you get, you run away from me. Or both of you will have to run away together, announcing to the world that we are going to have nice vacation. Basically, you are running away from each other, but together. This is the funny part. Together, running away from each other to some vacation so that your mind can go somewhere else. Now, the moment you, even there they fight, that's a different thing. But the moment you come back, again, all things start. It has got nothing to do with the vacation, it's got nothing to do with work, it's just your possessiveness. Wanting to dominate. This is the problem. So they won't attract you anymore. The same person whom you love so much. And you say, Baba, I want to divorce this fellow. What was it? What was really attracting you? The freedom that you were enjoying. You were able to be yourself when you were in courtship. The moment marriage happened, possessiveness happened, I'm not able to be myself. And anybody who is not allowed to be themselves, the frustration. Oh my God, I don't want to be there. So Kanta, Brahman, attracts. Because in Brahman there is no ego. There is only innocence. There is only freedom. There is no possessiveness. That is the beauty. Beauty is not something that you get with your makeups and de-tanning. All these things. Sun bath, de-tanning, all these things. 6-pack, 25,000 packs. All these things are different. Beauty means inside there is no collusion. That's the beauty. That's why children attract everybody. Children have no judgment about you. The world, people are constantly judging you. Rekha, what clothes she was wearing? How does it matter to you? Who is she married? Who is not married? My God, constant judging. So when a person is so judgmental, he is not attractive. That's the same thing, run away. A physical appearance could have affected somebody. But as they get closer and they see the inside, they run away. Oh my God, sorry, we made a mistake of coming into this relationship, and they run away. So what is really attracting? The inside, which is clean, pure. That's what is the word Kanta indicates. Kritagamaha, the author of the scriptures. Many times I have discussed this. Apaurusham, scriptures are called as Apaurusham. These are not the works of somebody who is sitting down and writing. When they dissolve their ego, it comes through them. See, the Gurukula system, those days, the ashram and they are studying with the student, is the guru telling 8 to 9 class, after that to do farming, then again 11 to 12 class, not like that. They are with the guru, they are living together with the guru. Suddenly the guru says something, teaches them. Not that he wants to teach all. Coming from inside. We are all coming from the divinity. The ego is dissolved. Therefore, the author of the scriptures is truly God. Vedas have come from divinity. Then Anirdesha Vapuhu, indescribable form. The infinite, how can it have a form? Form means something that has a beginning and an end. Bhagavan is infinite. Infinite doesn't have a form because there is no beginning. No end. So Anirdesha Vapu and Vishnuhu, all pervading. One who pervades everything. Ananta, infinite, endless. So Anirdesha Vapuhu, indescribable form, Vishnu, all pervading, and Ananta. Before Ananta there is Veera, the valiant, the courageous. We already discussed this. The same Lama is repeating again. Then Dhananjayaha. This word Dhananjaya we read many times in Bhagavad Gita. Winner of wealth. Winner of wealth. Arjuna was called as Dhananjaya because he won a lot of wealth from his neighboring countries by conquering them. So here when he says winner of wealth means the most supreme wealth is the self within. One who has conquered the self is considered to be the greatest. Dhananjaya. So 660. We'll stop here. And we are meeting again in July, isn't it?
Yes, 7th of July. Is
7th of July. Okay.
7th, and this is 6. What number was this?
660.
660. Hari Om Guruji.
Hari Om. Let's conclude now.
Om Purnamadha Purnamidham Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vishishyate Om Shanti 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 Om कायेन वाचा मनसेन्द्रियैर्वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा प्रकृते स्वभावात् करोमि अद्य सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि।